Hey everybody, Chris Fafalius here. If you enjoy One Hit Thunder, which I'm assuming you do considering you're listening to it right now, I want to tell you about another great music podcast on the Evergreen Podcast Network. It's called Riffs on Riffs. On this season of Riffs on Riffs, hosts Toby Braswell and Joe Watson are breaking down one iconic pop song each week. Everything from Taylor Swift's Cruel Summer to Journey's Don't Stop Believin' to Naughty by Nature's OPP. Each week, they crack open the song, trace its history, decode those cryptic lyrics, and unearth the hidden gems in its musical DNA. Not only do they dive into the song's history, lyrics, and impact, they also go down some fun and oftentimes hilarious rabbit holes. So yeah, if you're a fan of One Hit Thunder, I think you'll also enjoy Riffs on Riffs. So go hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in education into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
Hey. Do you have an idea for a podcast but don't know where to start? Or do you have an already existing podcast that you want to take to the next level? Well, check out WeKnowPodcasting.com. From concept development to theme music to editing to logos, WeKnowPodcasting.com is a one-stop shop for all things pod. Don't hesitate to hit us up. We're very nice. This week, we're joined by Horror Movie Night co-host Kyle Kukta to discuss Orgy, an industrial nu metal band that rose to fame thanks to a questionable cover of New Order's 1983 classic, Blue Monday. Was Kyle right to ask his parents for an Orgy poster for Christmas? Or did his middle school newspaper make the right call in simply referring to them as the opening band on the 1998 Family Values Tour? Stay tuned to see how we feel.
Tell me now, how do I feel?
One hit is all you need to make the money guaranteed, and you can live off royalties forever.
And it makes me wonder, is it just a wonder, or is it One Hit Thunder?
Hey Kyle, welcome to One Hit Thunder. I hear you all the time on Horror Movie Night, so we're finally meeting, but I kind of wish we were meeting under different circumstances. You are here to talk about Orgy Blue Monday, and I got to ask you, man, why?
There's only one reason.
Okay.
There's only one reason, and when I was reflecting upon it, well, first off, thank you, and I listen to you guys all the time. Well, I listen to Matt, no matter what. He's in my head, yep. In my dreams, in my nightmares.
Me too.
but I'm a big fan of your show, and I'm very happy to be here. And listen, I picked this song, I picked this band, mm-hmm. really, because it was formative for me at a time where I was just starting to line my bedroom walls with music posters, and I wanted a Godsmack one, and I wanted a Rob Zombie one, and I asked for Christmas for an Orgy poster. I put it literally in my Christmas list without understanding that Orgy had a different meaning. I just knew them strictly as the band Orgy. So when
I want an Orgy
when I asked my parents for an Orgy poster, I knew better. I linked them to the poster that I found online that I wanted, but I just imagined their faces when I asked for such a thing. And you know what? I fucking had that. They got it for me for Christmas.
So,
bless them.
So I have a similar story to not wanting an Orgy poster. But when this album came out, we'll get into it. The formation of this band doesn't make a ton of sense to me because it says that they formed in 1994, but then their first show was in 1998 after they had gotten signed. So I couldn't really figure out how that worked out. But pretty much they played a radio station event and then immediately was on the first Family Values tour.
Yeah.
So 1998, I am in sixth grade and I'm a little music nerd. So, of course, I joined the school newspaper to do CD reviews. Yes. Now, I joined the school newspaper to primarily review DC Talk and Five Iron Frenzy releases that no one cared about.
It's your evangelism.
Yeah, but there was another kid who was trying to do concert reviews. So he went and he went to the Family Values tour and he wrote a review about the Family Values tour. And again, we're in sixth and seventh grade. We don't know what an orgy is. So we were trying to figure out why the school newspaper editor, the teacher in charge of everything, changed his article to just refer to them as the opening band, but never saying who they were throughout the entire article. So yeah, no, it was definitely a name that meant nothing to middle schoolers that loved this band so much.
That's right. That's right. And I sought the album out and it wasn't a heavy rotation necessarily for me. But, you know, because...
You're, of course, referring to their album Candy Ass.
Candy
that
Ass.
That was apparently inspired by a drag queen that they met.
Yeah, you know, who the fuck... I don't know. I don't know anything. I've later in my life, I got that Family Values Tour VHS that came from that first. And, you know, no, I don't think there was any songs off of Candy Ass that were even on that tape.
Probably
so
not.
It's the whole band's been a disappointment from the jump for me. That poster didn't deserve any rent, you know, in my fucking bedroom.
Look,
but, you know, what are you going to do?
I know that Chris has got some mixed feelings on us doing this episode, but there is, and we'll get there, there is one part of the orgy story that is the most satisfyingly depressing thing I've ever read in my entire researching of any band that I am so excited for us to get to. But yes, let's start in the beginning. Band formed in 1994. They were not new to music. Their guitarist originally played in some 80s hair metal bands. Their drummer was in the Electric Love Hogs. And the vocalist produced Cold Chamber's debut album, all before Orgy found Jonathan Davis. And he was like, you're going to be the first band I signed to this label that Reprise Records is giving me. And thus, Orgy's Candy Ass began getting recorded.
So interesting.
And the Electric Love Hogs was the band with John Feldman from Goldfinger.
Yes.
And which I've never heard the band. But so basically, Jonathan Davis rounded up a bunch of ringers, guys who played in other bands, and formed a band. And you know what? This band sounds exactly like that.
Yeah. So, well, if this band was supposedly formed in 94, but it took this long, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
It makes a lot of, like, you know, they had other, they were in the studio for other musicians, or they were producing other shit that they could not, they were technically a band ready to make something, but it took them 4 years.
Look, and one thing that I learned very quickly while reading up on this, one thing I learned very quickly reading up on this band was only one member of the band was really invested in the band. By the second album, they were all doing different side projects.
No kidding. No kidding, dude. It is a real one and done band, it feels like. And I understand that there may be questions of its authenticity to belong here on One Hit Thunder, which I understand.
No, no, so, it's
Chris,
legit. It's legit.
So, Chris, what the fuck's your problem?
Yeah, no, no. I think it's legit for us to be covering this. I guess my joke about, like, why at the beginning was just more like, this is bad. Like,
yeah.
So
yeah.
This is going to be the biggest compliment I'm going to give the band Orgy, not to spoil the Blunder Thunder portion of the show. Yeah, Orgy's a bad band. I actually don't think that this is a bad cover of the song.
Can I argue with you about that?
Well,
I want to
read something, because there is the biggest piece of irony I've read today. So here's what I'll say about the song. According to the band, for starters, they said that they really wanted to do the original Blue Monday justice, and they expected that they would get a lot more criticism than they actually did. They went on to say that they felt lucky to have covered it, and that felt like it could have, that it felt like something that they would have written. And a lot of critics agreed with them. One person who very vocally disagreed with them was Buck Cherry's Josh Todd, who in a Spin magazine interview said, "All this song sounds like is a mechanical Nine Inch Nails ripoff."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's what gravitated me towards the band anyway.
Yeah.
That's all I wanted.
Okay. This band is the most boring version of Nine Inch Nails possible. That's my problem with them. It's just so boring. I listen to the whole... It is mind-numbingly boring as this cover is. Dude, the original is badass. The original of this song is so good. It's so futuristic. And what's crazy about it is I was trying to find the right way to put this, to express my feelings about this song. What I said that, you know, when you cover a song, you put your own spin on it, or you do a cooler version, you try your best to make the song even better. You certainly don't do a worse version of the song. But I couldn't really explain at first why this was worse. But then, I saw a quote from Ed Simmons of the Chemical Brothers, who had teamed up in the 90s with Bernard Sumner from New Order on the song Out of Control. And here is what Ed from the Chemical Brothers said about it. And this completely summed up exactly what I was having a hard time finding the words to say. He said, "What is that? Blue Monday is one of the most futuristic records ever, and it still sounds like that. It seems to be a record that doesn't need covering, especially because I've heard the remake and it didn't need covering by that band. Atrocious." And I couldn't agree more, because, dude, that's the original New Order song is from 1983 and it still sounds great. And what is so cool about it is, well, what's cool about the vocal delivery in it is that it's almost like a monotone, robotic, moody delivery of the vocal. And what's cool about it is that it doesn't go to that place where Orgy takes it. That's very unnecessary. It doesn't need to come up there. Some songs need that. They need those peaks and valleys. This song did not need this. This song was a mood, and Orgy is not a mood. Orgy is a radio rock, like, generic version of Marilyn Manson.
Nine Inch Nails is not the appropriate comparison. They are drinking from the goblet that is Marilyn Manson, 100% in every element of this song. And look, I owned Candy Ass, and I think even at the time that I bought Candy Ass, I was like, I don't know about this, which for a seventh grader is pretty prescient, because a seventh grader loves fucking anything that you put in front of them.
No doubt. You're trying to find your way, so you love everything or vehemently hate a couple things.
Yeah.
Like, but you've chosen a couple things to really hate, but you love everything else, and then it just sort of sifts through. Candy Ass fell through pretty quickly on my end. As soon as that poster came in, it was all downhill from there. I put up on my Etsy store, and somebody bought it like within 2 weeks.
Nice.
So some other fifth, sixth grader is very happy to own an Orgy poster. Is that still how that works? Is it cool? Is Orgy cool?
It's cool to have an Orgy poster, I'm sure. Well, actually, no, it's very much not cool to be an Orgy fan, because I'm going to get to the fact that I was talking about. So the band released albums until 2005, and then they went on a 7-year hiatus. This was due to all of the other members having multiple side projects.
Did anybody have a side project that was worth noting?
Nope.
Okay.
Eventually, the only remaining member was the lead singer, Jay Gordon, and he decided to reform the band under a new name. In 2013, they launched an Indiegogo campaign to record a brand new album, and they set their goal at $100,000 to record their next feature-length album, and the campaign ended with them raising $8,739, falling 92% shy of their original asking goal. That's how many people fell off after they bought Candy Ass in 1998.
Holy shit.
I gotta say, I am talking mad shit right now, but I came into this with an open mind. I didn't know much about Orgy. I knew they had that song Stitches, and
yes, that was like their minor follow-up that didn't cross over out of the rock radio.
That was definitely in a movie that we watched for Horror Movie Night too.
Oh, I'm sure.
Almost positive. I can't remember which one, but I'm positive it was.
And it's like,
and I think I chose it.
It's like the visuals and the music videos are like almost cool. Like,
right.
It's like almost there, but it's like the band themselves. It's like everything about the music video is cool, except the band themselves look like kids getting dressed up for a school talent show to look like a rock band or something. It's very strange. I came into this with an open mind, thinking, not knowing much about Orgy, and thinking that maybe they were more in the world of the Killers than they were new metal. And they are they are not. They are way more in the world of new metal.
Well, then there's other bands that I realized that I ended up liking as I grew up that I don't necessarily think that they have their roots in Orgy by any means, but like a band like The Faint, which is a great band, a little dancier, but still like sort of that industrious dance and glam in some ways. And it's like, I want that. Like, that's actually the thing I want that Orgy was not giving me. Orgy was, when you said radio rock, it's like, that's for sure it. Like, that is, it's as industrial as radio rock can get while still being shitty. And like, I listened to the album again for this. And I mean, the first two songs I'm like reminiscent and like nostalgic for. I'm like, yes. Like, but then I realized I must have only listened to those two songs, Blue Monday, and I think a song called Gender, which is somewhere in the middle. And like the rest of it, I had no recollection of. So clearly I talked a big game. If anybody's listened to Horror Movie Night, they know that that is my fucking MO. It was talking a big game from maybe 9 years old to 15. So Orgy was a victim of that. I was a victim of Orgy. I don't know.
Yeah. Kyle, I want to point out that Gender is the track right after Blue Monday. So I feel like you listened to the first two tracks and then you walked away while Blue Monday was playing a couple times and Gender started playing. You're like, I remember this song.
Yeah. And they're really, they're not great tracks. They're not. Stitches is fine. But I loved Blue Monday, man. I loved it. It just fit everything that I wanted in my life.
Look, I get what Chris is saying, though, at the same time, because, like, this is, you could do a worse cover of Blue Monday, for sure. But I don't think, like, Blue Monday, the song itself, is such a good song that, like, yes, obviously if your first experience hearing that song is this version of it, that you're going to be like, fuck yeah, this song's great, because it's a great song that they're working off of to begin with. But then eventually you do go and listen to the original version and you're like, oh, this is better.
Yes!
Like, this is so much better.
And also, it was futuristic in 1983. It sounded so great in 1983 that, like... That was only 14 years prior to that, and the song still sounded great. Like, sonically, it still sounded great. And them picking the getting all, like, you know, yelling the how does it feel, you're missing the point. You're missing the mood of the song, and that's what drives me crazy about this is...
Yeah.
Well, I can categorically tell you that my fandom of Orgy's version of Blue Monday was very short-lived because this song came out. This was the first time I'd ever heard this song, the song Blue Monday. I was like, oh, I'm not really into industrial that much, but I'm kind of digging this. And then, like, probably a month later... The Wedding Singer came out and I bought the Wedding Singer soundtrack that has the New Order version of Blue Monday on it. And I was like, oh, this is an astronomically better version of this song. And then I did not really think about the Orgy song again outside of like when I'm watching something like Not Another Teen Movie and it shows up on like the football scene in that movie or like, you know, like the song would pop up in things and be like, oh yeah, that's right. That was a band.
Hey, this is Dewey Halpas, host of Peer Pleasure on the Sound Talent Media Podcast Network. Join me each week as I explore another long-form conversation with one of your favorite musicians, actors, comedians, or creatives. From Chino Moreno of the Deftones, John Gorley of Portugal the Man, to Fat Mike from NoFX and Ian MacKay from Fugazi and Minor Threat, we go all over the map. From Fall Out Boy to Slayer, Peer Pleasure has it all. Check us out now on Sound Talent Media.
By now, I'm sure you've at least heard about Factor, but if you haven't tried it yet, let me tell you as a guy who loves it. Now is the time. Enjoy stress-free dining this spring with Factor's chef-crafted, dietitian-approved meals that are ready in just 2 minutes. With 35 weekly options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie, plus over 60 add-ons, you'll stay fueled and feel fantastic all day long. Don't wait. Fuel up for your spring goals today with Factor. Factor offers you chef-prepared meals ready in just 2 minutes so you can spend more time doing what you love this spring. Indulge in gourmet options like filet mignon, shrimp, and fresh veggies without the hassle of prep or cleanup. Customize your weekly meals to fit your schedule perfectly and enjoy the convenience of Factor's no fuss, no mess approach. Plus, you can celebrate Earth Day all month long with Factor's low carbon footprint options. Factor is your go-to solution for fast, premium meals, eliminating the need for cooking and empowering you to savor every moment. So head to factormeals.com/onehit50 and use the code onehit50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code onehit50, the words one hit and the number 50, at factormeals.com/onehit50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Hi, friends. The world got you down? Don't be sad. Listen to $2 Late Fee with Zach and Dustin.
$2 Late Fee is the podcast that celebrates the best decade of entertainment, the 1980s. We pick a movie and soundtrack from our youth that we loved and see if it holds up today. We also interview your favorite celebrities from that era.
All in the spirit of positivity and togetherness. Check us out at $2LateFee.com.
I feel like we're starting to get mean, okay? And
I'll talk about gender again.
I mean, these people—they might be nice people, but I really gave it a solid shot. I watched a live one of the first things when I looked up live. There's a whole concert. It's from like the time that they were hitting hard, and it was just so annoying, and the songs were so boring. It was like they came out, they had this light box behind them, maybe it said orgy, and they came out and they had, you know, looking all wild, you know, looking like they look, and the bass player, like, they came out and the crowd's cheering and he like had his bass, like he's holding it so it's standing straight up, and he's just like staring at the crowd, and I'm like, okay, well, maybe this is their thing, they're trying to be like Korn. I can imagine Korn doing that.
Well, Korn signed them, that's right. I mean, yeah, that's the starting point,
but
there, yeah,
but then it's like, okay, well, maybe they're like, they are a mood. Maybe they're moody. And then the singer comes out and he's like, make some fucking noise, everybody. I'm like, Jesus, would you pick a lane? What are you guys? What is your style? Right. What is, right. I didn't even understand their like look. Like, if you were going for like a Marilyn Manson thing, you didn't go far enough. You just like put on a little bit of makeup and spiked your hair, like, and dressed like you went to Hot Topic. Hot Topic probably didn't exist yet, but
no, Hot Topic existed. Hot Topic, as a kid in 1998, okay. Hot Topic definitely existed.
All right. Then. Well, they look like Hot Topic in the 90s.
You're absolutely right though about their look, because when I sat down to watch the video for Blue Monday, I definitely remember in my brain, I'm like, these guys looked like Static X and like Power Man 5000 or Mudvayne, where it was like tons of makeup. Like, and then I'm like, this is like some eyeliner and like a little bit of some like baby powder thrown on their face to make them look a little paler. Like, it wasn't what my memory was. I definitely remember them looking way more extreme than they actually were.
Yeah.
And
a million percent.
I don't get what. This isn't just on Orgy. This is on, there was a lot of bands at this time where like it would be this weird metal, but like with a very monotone, drony singing style over top of it. Like it, I don't know how to explain what I'm talking about, but like this same year, a movie that I liked at the time, I can't promise that it was a good album. Or a good movie, but Dead Man on Campus came out. Have either of you ever seen Dead Man on Campus with Zach Morris?
No, but I just looked at a list of movies that I want to watch, and Dead Man on Campus is on there.
So, very long story short, the concept of Dead Man on Campus, it was one of the first MTV movies. It's about two guys who party too hard their freshman year of college, realize that they're about to flunk out, and find out that their school has a rule where if your roommate commits suicide, the school will give you straight A's for that semester. And since it's a three-person room, they decide to move their current roommate, Jason Siegel, out of their room and try to find the most depressed kid on campus to move in and try to push him to kill himself so that they can get their A's. It's a horrifically outdated, not aged well movie whatsoever. But one of the kids they bring in is this depressed industrial new metal musician who sings exactly like this. And like the song that he's playing is a song called Sperm. And I swear it was like, they were like, we got to do an orgy parody. Like, right? It sounds so gotta much be. Like Orgy's Blue Monday.
This last one is called Sperm.
There's no way that they weren't directly parodying Orgy's cover of Blue Monday with right. the sound that they gave this band.
Well, that's what I think. It's just such a... Oh, this goes along with what we're all saying. It's just such a of-its-time, flash-in-the-pan scenario, right? Yeah. Like, it's just... And that's why to me, it's like, it doesn't surprise me that it only charted at that like time, but it also doesn't surprise me that it's a song that we all remember and can talk about in some capacity, because like it stuck and it was played in all the right places for us to know about it or remember it or to have it jog our memory.
Let's take a second to look at what was happening on the top 10 when this thing was peaking at 56. Please. So this thing peaked at 56 on April 24th, 1999.
My birthday, my 19th birthday.
There you go. So oh, on your 19th birthday, here's some of the songs that were in the top 10.
For you. Yeah.
Number 10, Goo Goo Dolls Slide. Number right. 9, past song that we discussed on the podcast, C'est La Vie by Bewitched. Number 8, Angel of Mine by Monica. Number 5, another song we've talked about on this show, Kiss Me by Sixpence None the Richer. Mm-hmm. And I genuinely like these top three, actually. Number 3 was Sugar Ray's Every Morning. Number 2 was Cher's Believe. And number also 1 great. Was TLC's No Scrubs. And wow. like, I could see why Orgy's weird, like, we're kind of like what Cher's doing, but rock sound like. Well,
this style, man, it sounds manufactured. Yeah. It's boring. It's emotionless. There's no, I don't.
How does it feel, Chris?
This is how it feels, is there were people doing the industrial music of the 90s, Nine Inch Nails being at the pinnacle of that, and even Marilyn Manson to a certain extent. Marilyn Manson not being anywhere near as good as Nine Inch Nails, but mm-hmm. at least with Marilyn Manson, it was interesting. It was theatrical. It was whatever. Yeah. And of course, we're putting aside him being a huge piece of shit in recent, correct. You know, yeah. the revelations in recent years. But it's the same thing you could say about any style of music. Why make, if you're going to make music, why make something that's so lesser of that mm-hmm. style? Why not strive? And I say that, and the song was a hit. It was a cover, but it was a hit. So maybe this is me, a guy with no hits, saying that, you know, why don't they do this? But it's just all those radio rock bands you were saying, man, they're so freaking boring. That's my problem. Maybe it's a style I don't like. You know, it's fine if it's a style I'm not into, but, you know, I'm not necessarily into metal, but I can hear Dillinger Escape Plan and be like, that's badass. That's really cool. Right. Like, that's interesting, you know?
It's certainly it's style aside, it's objectively stale. Like no. or emotion, or like, you know, manufactured is a great is a great term for it. And it's like, I think that, you know, in industrial music or even any sort of electronic forward music could fall into that really easily. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, so then don't don't do that. Like be a Nine Inch Nails, or be a Aphex Twin, or like be something that offers something to it, and Orgy was even, not that even long
within,
term.
Even within its own genre, which like it feels so safe. You know what I mean? Like even the name Candy Ass sounds like a 30-year-old trying to be edgy to a teenager. Mm-hmm. Like it's not
right.
Like when you're listening to this, like I guess this is the thing that I had to think about, is like they're on the Family Values tour at the time that this song comes out, and like regardless of your opinions of any of these artists, Incubus, Rammstein, Ice Cube, Limp Bizkit, and Korn. And like, I would argue that all of those artists, whether you like them or not, have a sound that will grab you. Like this is Limp Bizkit $3 bill, y'all, era, where it's like, yeah. Oh, this doesn't sound like anything I've heard before. This is Korn just about to put out Follow the Leader, where it's like, this doesn't sound like anything I've heard before. This is Rammstein, where you're like, what the fuck is this? And then Orgy comes out on stage.
The opening band,
it's kicking off the show, and you're like,
revisionist history.
But then I also think about what was coming out that same year. Like, I don't like Power Man 5000 or Static X, but this is also the same year as Rob Zombie's Hellbilly Deluxe. Like, this feels so tame compared to those other bands. And then a year later, you're having Mudvayne put out Dig, and like, I don't know how to feel about that song, but I remember the second I heard that song and saw that video, it was burned into my brain because it was so out there. Like, this, I think, Chris, you're right. This just, everything about this album really does feel like an album put together by a committee that was like, if Korn's for the high schoolers, we got to make a band that's like the middle school version to get kids into Family Values Tour to like listen to these other bands.
Bro, worked for me. Worked for me. Do you guys have a favorite one-hit wonder that is a cover? Do you guys have a favorite?
Oh, that's a good question.
I remember this conversation happening in the Facebook group.
Torn was one, right? Was Torn one?
Torn was technically a cover, but I feel like that, I think that's different than this, because Torn was like her covering a song that wasn't really famous. I feel like this is way more comparable to like Save Ferris doing Come On Eileen, where it was already a super established song. I would say,
I'm putting you on the spot.
No, but I push back sometimes on this band being a one-hit wonder, even though they probably by every stretch of the imagination are. I think Alien Ant Farm's cover of Smooth Criminal was really good. It did something interesting with a song, whereas like, I think that Blue Monday Orgy is very comparable to Save Ferris's Come On Eileen, where it's like they really didn't do that much to change up the original construction of the song to begin with. They just kind of played it their style. So like for Save Ferris, it was like, we added some horns, but like otherwise that song is pretty much a spot on cover just with horns and a female vocalist. And this is just like a slightly more angry version, but like, they're not like doing it much faster than the original one. They're just
It's hard to explain. It's just an inferior version to the original. That's my problem.
It's a copy
here.
Of a copy, is almost in a weird way. Yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, New Order is amazing.
New Order's great.
They're so awesome. Like,
and there's some great songs that people like. True Faith. I think True Faith by New Order is such a great song.
Awesome song. I mean,
I'm going to say something. Yeah. I'm going to say something a little blasphemous, and I'm going to paraphrase a friend of mine who once told me, I don't know the difference between apes, monkeys, and gorillas, and at this point, I don't want to know. So I'm going to say the same thing. I don't know the difference between New Order, Joy Division, The Smiths, and at this point, I don't know if I want to know. Well, and I know that's blasphemous.
Well, first of all, New Order came from the ashes of
Joy Division.
Yeah. Okay.
After Ian's suicide, they went on to form New Order. So there is a crossover there. The Smiths are a lot less electronic. I mean, they did have little elements, especially in their best song, but they're more of like a rock band. Yeah.
Good. The fact of the matter is, I do actually want to know. I hate to admit that I don't know a thing. So continue telling me about about New Order's greatness.
Well, they were just,
because I don't know shit.
They're very electronic forward band. Like they're very 80s. They are like one of the quintessential sound of the 80s bands. I think they're cool. They're unique. They're original. Whether people are going to like them, I mean, his vocal delivery is an acquired taste on some of those songs, but I like it. I think it's interesting. And I think they're a great band.
I mean, if you haven't heard the original, check that out. I mean, of their big singles, like I said, True Faith is a really great song. Bizarre Love Triangle is like just a masterpiece of a song. And then there's a ton of deep cuts.
I'm looking at, I do know Ceremony and Temptation. And okay, so I know a little bit more than I think I realize. But I just, they were never formative for me. You know what I mean? So it's like, I never had their
My legitimate fandom of New Order came from constantly loving songs and then finding out they were covers of New Order songs.
Yeah.
Like repeatedly.
I think that's a new temptation. Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay, that was a really good cover. I guess I'll check out the original, and then being like, yep, oh, okay, this is better. This is the better version of that.
You know, Kyle, you brought up a good comparison earlier. The Faint is such a band that I feel like is in the same lane, using those, I don't know if you call the Faint industrial, but they're definitely on the borderline of it. And they're so interesting.
Yeah.
It just feels like art, and this feels like major label
commerce, truly. Art versus commerce.
It feels like corporate as hell. Hey, the only thing I can say is that maybe these guys, this is the best thing I can say about Orgy. Maybe these guys are nice.
That's all we can hope for.
That's all. Maybe they don't deserve this.
I very quickly realized in the recording of this that I will not be tagging their
please don't.
Their social media handles on this
one.
Don't.
Yeah,
don't do that.
Hard pass. You know, but well, the thing is that, like, if there's only the one guy left, like, and everybody went on to do other projects. Everybody was already doing other projects before Orgy. Orgy's just another... just another thing, right?
I'm going to try to think of some other positive things to say about Orgy. How about this? They all seem like they play their instruments adequately.
Yeah, absolutely. Or else they wouldn't be in Orgy.
Yeah, right, exactly. Singer seems to sing on key, on pitch.
You know, when I think of Blue Monday, I think of the Orgy version first.
Oh, okay.
All right. And that's not helpful.
Yeah,
that's not nice.
But it's legitimate.
They got $10 from my dad once.
There you go, for a poster. their music videos look pretty cool.
Yeah. Stitches was sick.
That video looks really great, minus the way the band looks in it.
I mean, do we have to ask the question? I feel like we kind of know what we're all going to say.
I mean,
I'm going to say Thunder.
Okay. I was going to say that it's like you don't even need to say it because it's just it's maybe the first one where it's just a fact.
No, personally, in my heart, I have a soft spot for it, but objectively and just clearly, as we've been talking about it, you know where I stand too. It's just not it. It ain't it.
It ain't it.
Kyle, real quick, and this is going to come out the last week of September, you've got a short film that's like just showing up on all different types of film festivals. Anything that the One Hit Thunder listeners should know about? Any shows coming in October or November? It's a good spooky Christmas Halloween combo there.
Yeah. I did a short called The Woodsman, which is a short about a Christmas tree salesperson trying to sell his last trees from his lot on Christmas Eve. And as the night goes on, he becomes more and more anxious and drunk. And it's just it's a debacle for him. And it's very sort of like Tales from the Crypty on less than $5,000 budget. But we are screening a bunch of places in October. We're at the Charlotte Film Festival in Charlotte, North Carolina. We are going to be at the Hex After Dark Film Festival in Calgary, Knoxville Horror Fest in Knoxville, Tennessee, Sin City Horror Fest in Vegas. If you just go to kylecookta.com, you'll find all the dates. And then I won't shut up about it on Instagram. So if you follow me on Instagram at krcookta, you'll see it all. It's fairly obnoxious, but also it's very exciting for me. So you'll just have to deal until the festival runs over.
Congratulations, man. That's badass.
Thanks, dude. Thank you. It's been a lot of fun. It's been cool to hear people dig on it, because it could have just been another thing. But we did it, and people dig it. So that's awesome.
Nice.
And listeners, if you're enjoying this chat with Kyle, go over to patreon.com/OHT podcast because, I don't know, maybe Kyle can give Chris some good October Halloween recommendations.
Oh, I love that idea. And Kyle, as a horror movie night listener, what are you drinking over there?
So I did actually have a listener of Horror Movie Night gifted me a blue raspberry mead.
Wow.
But as we are recording this is the first of three things I'm going to record tonight, and I could not crack open the mead as it is very heavy.
Gotcha.
But that is what I would have paired with this, and I was really contemplating it. So I will just say that is what I'm drinking and not tell you what I'm actually drinking,
cool.
Which has zero Blue Monday in it, or zero Orgy, zero candy ass. gotcha. At all.
You could have drank a Pabst Blue Ribbon. That would have worked.
You know I would have loved to, too.
This has been One Hit Thunder. One Hit Thunder is hosted by Chris Fafalios of the bands Punchline Pack and Another Cheetah and produced by Matt Kelly of Geekscape.net. Underneath me, you're hearing the Punchline song Let It Rise off their album Thrilled. Visit punchline.com for merch, tour dates, and upcoming news. Also, we're on Patreon. Become a patron and get bonus content, early episodes, and a chance to vote on future episodes at patreon.com/OHT podcast. Do you want to start a podcast? Then contact Chris and myself at weknowpodcasting.com for how we can make your show sound as professional as possible. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to us on your favorite podcasting app. And tune in next week for more One Hit Thunder.
Switch, now you can feel that calm. Let it rise off of you. Now you're free that it's gone. What are you waiting for? Now we're all gonna die. That's why you take the chance. That's why you start tonight.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.
Hello, Tom May here, host of Future Friday. I've spent the last 15 years on the road with my band, The Menzingers, where I've met all kinds of wild and fascinating people. So I started a podcast. On Future Friday, I talk to fellow musicians about the moments that made them, their passions outside of music, and the curiosities that tie us all together. I've also talked to the likes of UFO researchers, magicians, soldiers, and documentary filmmakers, and I'm constantly searching for folks that can shape and change our view of the world. You can check out Future Friday wherever you like.
Hey there, I am Johnny Christ from Avenged Sevenfold, and I've got a podcast called Drinks with Johnny you're going to want to check out. I sit down with a bunch of different people from all different walks of life, from professional wrestlers to actors, comedians, fighters, musicians, everything in between. I'm just looking to make some friends and have a good time doing it. So if that sounds like something you're into, go check out Drinks with Johnny, streaming everywhere now.